All right. Welcome this morning. So glad to see you. Our motto here is no perfect people allowed. So that means every man, woman, child, and bear is welcome here. We're glad to have you here on Father's Day. And we've been talking about being a good and faithful servant and kind of in the middle of that series. How many of you know what an unselfie is at this point? Instead of taking a selfie, yeah, keep your hands up. You learn to find someone else that's serving and you take a picture of them serving and then post that and we honor that and lift that up. So continue to do that and send those in, hashtag unselfie. We love seeing you guys do that. Today, we want to talk about what does it look like for a father on Father's Day to be a good and faithful servant in the home. And guys, you think about all the different roles or titles we may have. Father is the one that carries the most weight. Father's the one that makes the most difference. Father's the one that has the greatest importance. I mean, if we crush it in the corporate world and climb the corporate ladder, retire early, have financial independence, I mean, all that's good. But if we miss Father, being a good and faithful father, in the process of doing those things, man, we've missed out on the best thing and the highest calling that we could possibly have. And I don't know about you, but I feel a tension between those two things, those two parts of my life, when my career and being successful and trying to reach my full potential and become more in my professional life. And then there's a desire and a pressure and a responsibility to really care for and lead my family well. There's a tension there. There's probably always going to be a tension there. And so since as men, our tendency is to lean into the professional side, today I want us to lean in the other way. And what does it mean to be a great father, a good and faithful servant kind of father? What does that look like? And how do we achieve that? As I was preparing this lesson, it occurred to me, what an honor. What an honor it is to bear the name Father. Because when God chose to reveal himself to man, one of the key names you see over and over again in Scripture, a reoccurring theme, is that he would be called Father. Father. And so as fathers, you and I bear, in a real sense, the image of the Heavenly Father to those we get to lead in our homes. And so that's a heavy, powerful, convicting truth that we need to embrace today. So, what does it look like for you and I as dads to reflect the Heavenly Father to those in our homes? You know, as I was looking through the Scriptures, I found shockingly few examples from the Bible of good fathers in the Scriptures. I was really surprised. I mean, every Father's Day, I'm looking for a new sermon, right? And I've said there's very few good examples in the Scripture, and that kind of encouraged me, really. It made me realize something, that not all of us get it right all the time. In fact, none of us do. But as fathers, there's some things that you and I, if we're going to be good and faithful in our home as fathers, there's some things that you and I need to be swinging at. There's some home run cuts we need to be taking at three specific things. And so we're going to look at those together today. And we've identified the three foundational roles that a father plays in the life of their family. And all three of these, this is why it gets so powerful, all three of these are attributes of our Heavenly Father. That we get to reflect these things into the lives of our kids and our wives, and he expects us as dads to be swinging at this home run cut, that we would go all out to become these things in our life. So the first one, without any delay, is that you and I would reflect the Father as we become a provider, as we live as a provider in our homes. Provider. Now, Jesus was talking about prayer in Luke chapter 11. But that's the context of this passage. But I want you to see what he says when he's talking about prayer. He says, "Now, which of you fathers, if your son asked for a fish, would give him a snake instead?" Nobody here would do that. "Or if he asked for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. He's saying God is a good father who loves giving good gifts to his children. And he appeals to that argument in that argument. He says, listen, it's just like earthly fathers, even though they are messed up and don't get it right all the time, they long to give good gifts. They long to provide. There's an instinct in a man that he wants to give what his family needs. And that's what it means to be provider. Now, that's the natural instinct. Sometimes we veer off course from that. And yesterday, my dad threatened to come to the service today. And so I told him I would put a story in there about him. I was young, maybe third grade. And we were eating dinner. And we're all sitting at the table together. You remember when we used to do that? Sit around the table as a family and eat dinner. There were no devices at the table. Because the only device in a home was a big tube TV in the next room. And we're just talking. And I was eating good. I never miss a meal, and I take full advantage when I do. And so we were eating in third grade, and I said, Dad, could you pass me another slice of bread, and would you mind buttering the bread for me? He says, sure. So he butters the bread. And he says, do you really want this? I said, yeah, I want the bread. He said, you really want the bread, Rod? I said, yeah, I want my bread. He says, do you really, really want the bread? I'm like, yeah, Dad, give me the bread. And he hauls off and he throws the bread and it sticks to my face. And it stayed there. And it finally peeled off. And I was dumbfounded. So he kind of went the other way on that one, didn't he? If you want to know why I am the way I am, well, there's a little clue. My dad. I've also seen it work this way, this idea of provider. Over the course of 10 years as pastor here, I've seen about a dozen guys, half a dozen to a dozen, that they've lost work, they've been out of work for maybe months at a time, and the devastating effect that has on a guy that wants to provide for his family, that's longing for work, is trying to do that for his family, and the depression that often comes with that is a result of this thing inside a man that longs to be provider in his home. It's in us. We want to do right by our families by making sure that their needs are met. If not, all their wants are even met. And there's a certain satisfaction that comes knowing that they have what they need. Man, that's just such a joy as a dad to be able to provide for his family. And as you and I think about being a provider, it's not about making the most money. It's really just about making enough money. Making enough money that your family has what it needs, but also looking to and providing the other needs, the other less material needs that a family may have. The stability, the emotional health, the presence in a home that everyone in that family longs for, that the father is there to meet that need. In fact, I would say there's not a dad in here that wouldn't go out of his way to meet the needs of his family. And it reminded me of John chapter 4, where Jesus is in Galilee. He's traveling around doing ministry. And this father has a sick son at home on his deathbed. And so this dad leaves the home. He travels 16 miles through rugged mountain terrain on foot in search of Jesus. And he finally finds him. And he's willing to make the big ask. And he goes up to Jesus. He says, I know you're doing important stuff, but I need you to come. I need you to come and heal my son. Would you leave what you're doing and you come heal my boy? And by God's grace, Jesus said, you can go. He's already been healed. But that father was willing to go as far as it takes, as long as it would take, as much payment it would take in order to make sure that his little boy got what he needed to get healthy again. That is what is in the heart of a father, because that is what is in the heart of our Heavenly Father, that he is our great provider, and he passes that responsibility and privilege and instinct on to dads, that we would want to be like him and provide for the needs of our family. Can I ask you, has God ever failed to provide for you? I know he hasn't because you're here. We all made it to this place because our Heavenly Father has been a good provider. It may not always look the way we want it to look or feel the way we wanted it to feel, but he's got us to this point, and by the grace of God, he will take us home and he will not let us fall, and he will continue to provide for our every need. And that's what God gives a dad, a desire to pass along the same thing, And man, one of my buddies, he was talking about his dad. And he said, we were always poor. We grew up in this little tiny house in the woods. My mom had this addiction issue that caused a lot of money to kind of flow through the house. And so we were always poor. He said, my dad would work two jobs. He'd get up before it was light out, and he'd come home when it was dark. He was sleep deprived year after year after year, making ends meet. He was working hard. We never got rich. We never got ahead, but my dad never left her, and he always provided for us. Can I tell you, that dad's a hero for being a provider like that. So dads, on behalf of your families, and I hope they'll tell you this later, thank you. Thank you for stepping into the role as provider. That you would keep doing that and keep providing for your family. Because when you do so, you and I, we don't simply provide for our families. We are actually demonstrating the very nature and character and faithfulness of God. That He provides and He makes a way. And that when we are faithful to get up day after day, week after week, and do the job we may or may not love, and put up with deadlines and traffic and clients and all the headaches that come with working day in and day out, it demonstrates God's faithfulness to our families. So family, be sure to thank Dad. Thank Mom and Dad, but thank Dad today anyway for the way He's provided. God has used Him to provide for your family. So we reflect, think about this, we reflect God's nature and goodness as provider when you and I step into the role as provider. Number two, you and I reflect the Father, the Heavenly Father, when we are protector, when we are the protector of our home. Now, I heard a conversation between a dating couple a while back, and the guy asks the gal, he says, what do you fear most? What do you fear most in life? She said, if I'm honest, I'd fear that you'd get tired of me and you'd find someone else and you'd leave me to go be with them, and I'd find myself all alone in this life. And she says, well, what do you fear the most? And he said, bears. Bears. And the reason you think about it is that's all that's up there with a guy, by the way. It doesn't go any deeper than that. It's just bears, okay? And I think the reason a guy gets freaked out about a bear, I know I do, is I'm not sure I can protect myself, let alone my family, from a bear. But I promise you this, there's not a dad in this room today that if a bear came crashing through a tent or an intruder kicked in the front door, that they wouldn't instinctively and purposefully step in front of those things, those dangers, and get between that danger and their family and get everything they have, their very lives, to protect their family from anything that would threaten them. That's what's in the heart of God, and that's what He puts in the heart of a man and a dad who would willingly lay down his life for those he loves. Man, there's just something in us that willingly does that without even thinking about it. Can I tell you this? I don't always agree with Sigmund Freud, but he made this quote. He said, I cannot think of any need in childhood as strong as the need for a father's protection. Man, that's just one of those foundational things that grounds a kid and gives them a base from which to live life from is a dad's protection. I mean, whatever the thing is or the threatening thing may be, if dad's there next to you, it's going to be okay, right? Well, in the scripture, we got a pretty neat example of this. You can find it in Mark chapter 9. There was a boy that was having seizures, and so the dad brings the child to Jesus. He's looking for healing. He was desperate. It says this, when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He went down on the ground. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. At this point of desperation, the father didn't demonstrate much faith, but he'd reached the end of his rope, and he asked Jesus, if you can help, would you help? I got great news this morning. Jesus can do anything. He can do anything. And he did heal that little boy. And that father and son went home, and that kid was finally whole. But that's not even the point of what I'm trying to make today. I want you to think about that story from the father's perspective. It doesn't say how old the boy was, but it had been years and years and years of a dad who had constant attention on this son, watching his every move, making sure that oftentimes he would throw himself into a body of water and the dad would have to dive in and grab the kid and pull him out before he drowned. And this child would throw himself into a fire. The demon would cause that. And the dad would have to jump in. Certainly he had burns on his body where he would pull his kid out and rescue him and save him from the flames. Man, that's what a good dad does. He protects at any cost the little ones he's been given to protect. That's what a good dad does. Can I just tell you, we live in a dangerous world today. We live in a dangerous place. I'm not going to tell you how to protect your family, but all I can tell you is this. This is Jackson County, and I have a gun in my car. Probably most of y'all do too. 11 years ago when we moved here, I didn't carry a gun. I do today. I'm not making a plug for NRA. You can do it the way God leads you to do it. But all I'm saying is a good father must take precaution to protect his family from the dangers that are out there. They're very real. They're very real. But the other side of that, it may be not as dramatic as this. A good dad, a good father asks questions like, where are you going? Who are you going with? Who's going to be there? When are you coming home? Will you text me when you get there? And they do everything in their power to make sure that they help their kids choose the right path and they protect them from the evils that are not so obvious. They do great things like intimidating boys that want to date their daughters. That's just a God-given right he gives a dad, right? Yeah, I won't go any further. We have that situation in the room today. So, but a dad would be willing to charge hell with a water balloon to protect his precious family. That is what we mean by protector, okay? But not only does a father charge with protecting their family from the dangers out there, you got to understand that as protector, God also is challenging us and has called us to protect us from the dangers within. That as dad, there's things that we're called to do to help our kids protect themselves from themselves. What do you mean? Look at this passage with me. Proverbs 3:12 says this, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. God says this, listen, if you love them, then part of protecting them is that you would try to discipline them and help protect them from the danger that lies within, that they would make choices that would harm themselves, but you discipline them and cause them and help them choose the right path in front of them. Man, that's what a good dad does. And can I tell you, my experience is a lot of dads try to farm this out and let the wife deal with the discipline issues, or the teacher, or the administration, or the Sunday school teacher, or the law, and they don't get involved with really helping shape and form the character of the kids that God has entrusted them to protect from themselves. But because you love them, did you see the Lord's motivation? Why God disciplines us is he loves us as a father, the son he delights in. If we love them, then we step into the role as being the one who will protect them and discipline them. It means taking the lead. I believe it's a team effort. Husband and wife, if you have that situation, is the best situation because it works together. And when you lose your cool, like occasionally I've lost my cool, and your wife sends you to your room so you cool off, right? But I believe in that team effort, the dad is the one that takes the lead to make sure he's causing his kids, he's helping his kids grow up in the knowledge of God. You help them learn discipline and self-control and respect for others and limits and boundaries and morality and selflessness. That is what a dad is called to do, and it comes through discipline. That's the way those things are achieved. And look, in my experience as a parent, you can talk to your blue in the face and you can tell them But discipline doesn't happen until there are consequences to their action. The kids hear consequences. When there's things that are out of line in their life, there must be consequences if we're going to discipline them in a way that honors God, that they hear the consequences of their choices. And if we give them consequences, that helps them, it disciplines them to find the right path. Man, that's part of being dad. That dad would lead in this role. And I want you to realize this is a dad role because this is a God role. It says the Lord disciplines us. He disciplines us, but why? Why does he send hardship and trial and even persecution and things that we would rather not choose? Why does he do that? Is he picking on me? Does he not love me? No, it's because he loves you. It's because he loves you. He will send those things into your life, into my life, to form us and to shape us into the image of his Son. That one day you and I can present it to our Heavenly Father, blameless before him. And that is what God is doing. And that is the role of dad, that you would protect them in such a way. So, man, let me just challenge you, dads. Step into the role of protector. We would protect them from any danger out there and even the dangers that lie within. Thirdly, dad gets to be provider. He gets to reflect God through being protector, but he also gets to reflect the Father as a priest. That you and I, as dads, we get to take the lead. We have the responsibility. We have the privilege of leading and developing our family spiritually. Now, I know the other two kind of feel natural. This is the one that seems hardest to most men because oftentimes we've never been shown, we've never had it modeled, we've never been taught what does it look like to be a good dad spiritually in the home? How do we pass our faith on to the next generation? You know, being a leader in the church, it starts with being a leader in the home. That's where it has to start. The passages in 2 Timothy and in Titus chapter 2, when it lays out the offices of deacon and elder and what the spiritual leaders in a church ought to be, every single one of those lists always mentions that they would be running and leading and serving in their home in such a way that there's integrity there, that they're doing the right things there before they ever step into spiritual leadership in the church of Jesus. This is important stuff. And I believe every dad is called to lead in this way. Every dad is to be priest in their home. I love this quote that says this: no person can be a great leader unless he takes genuine joy in the success of those under him. Man, as dad, we've got people looking to us. And I know we work so hard in their academics that we want to set them up for success academically and in college and in their careers. And we're trying to teach them relationship stuff and coach them through dating because we want to set them up for success in their marriage. But man, all those things are good and important. Man, we'll open savings account and teach them how to handle money because we want to set them up for success financially. And all those things are good. But setting them up for success spiritually, man, that has the most value. That is eternal value. That's truly the most important thing we could do for our kids, is that we would give them a track to run on, that they could grow in their relationship with God. Listen to God's instructions to us. It says in Proverbs 1:8, it says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction." You think I've ever quoted that one? A few times. "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Ephesians 6:4. "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." The scripture makes it clear that we are to be instructors. We ought to be passing on. We ought to be teaching them. We ought to be showing them what does it mean to walk with God. So let me just ask you, what are your kids learning from you about God? What are they learning about living a life of faith from you? What are they learning about what it look like to follow God and live for God in your daily life? Man, as priests, that's our responsibility and our duty and our privilege. And I believe in what we're doing on Wednesday nights and other things we do on Wednesday nights with our students and Sunday mornings with our children's ministry. I believe the volunteers, some of you are them, and our leaders in there are doing a great job providing a foundation for the kids. But let me tell you something. If you and I choose to rely on the church to provide the spiritual nourishment and leading that our kids need, that this next generation needs, we will be missing out. We'll be falling far short of what it means to be a priest in the home. I believe God has called us to be the catalyst for that in our home. Think of it like this. Think of it like a car with just, you know, four wheels like any car. And the four things that will most greatly influence the spiritual direction of your kid's life is the church, the home, themselves, and their peers. Those four wheels are what their spiritual track, their spiritual life is riding on. And if we choose not to do one of those things, if we just farm that out to the church, or we just rely on them to pick it up for themselves, then we're missing out. It would be like us sending our kid out at 16 years old in the first time out in the car and say, hey, listen, I just want to tell you something. When you get up to about 55 miles an hour, that one tire right there, it's going to blow. Good luck. Man, there isn't a dad here that would let that happen. There isn't a father here that wouldn't go through great pains to make sure that tire was taken care of. And so let me tell you, dads, we're that tire. We're to make sure that they have that foundation in their lives. And they need your instruction. Can I tell you, I've got three, 12, 14, and 15. And they're great kids. I love my kids. We spent a whole week together doing mission work. It was awesome. Mostly, right? It was mostly awesome. We remember the good parts. But can I tell you this? Sometimes, it's hard to believe, but sometimes they act like they don't want me to lead them. Sometimes they act like they don't want my instruction. They don't want my feedback. I understand. I get it. And they may roll their eyes, or they may sigh, or they may not say, oh, again, or oh, I can't believe it, or I'm busy. I get it. I know what that looks like. But can I tell you something? Even when they think and they act like they don't want your instruction and leadership, they do. They need it and they long for it. And so you and I, as the priest of the home, as we reflect the Heavenly Father, we get to show them what it means to walk with God. Now, as priest, we're instructor, but we're also counselor. Counselor. In fact, get it right out of Scripture here. Listen to what it says. Psalm 103 says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. See, our children are supposed to see the compassion and grace and mercy and patience and love and tenderness and gentleness and approachability of God in us. We are called to be counselor to our children and to our wives. Well, that is part of the priest role that you and I take as dad. And when you mess up, and you get mad, when there's an argument, I'm sure nobody here raises their voice, right? Screams, yells, kids go scurrying, doors start slamming. That happened just in my house? Okay, I didn't think so. This is the opposite of that. This is becoming the bigger man. This is leading with a gentle hand, a strong, firm, calm hand, that when there's argument and disagreement, that you and I as counselor come in and say, whoa, 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 let's take five. Let's figure this out. Let's talk reasonably. Let's do this the right way. Let's not make it the wrong thing. Let's not make this worse. That as priest and counselor in our home, that we come in and provide comfort and correction, not in a screaming way, but in a gentle, controlled way. Man, that's what we should be swinging at. I know you blow it. I know I blow it. But that's what we're to be swinging the home run cut at. In fact, I know that's what it looks like, because look what it says in 1 Thessalonians 2. It says this, for this is Paul writing to new Christians. He says, for you know that we dealt with each one of you as a father deals with his own children. Listen to what he says. Encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Man, those three words kind of encapsulate what it means to be counselor priest in our homes. That we would be people that learn to encourage and comfort and urge our children in such a way that it brings the best out of them. So let's talk about each one of those for a second. Encouragement sounds like this. It's words that ought to come out of your mouth that says this: you can do it. You can do it. It ought to sound like this: that I am so proud of you. Man, and not just I'm so proud of you, but pick out specific things and say, man, I'm so proud of that A you got in that class. I know you worked so hard for that. Man, I'm so proud of you for picking up your room the first time we asked. I'm so proud of you. One of the best compliments our kids have given us feedback on, we tell them once in a while, we'll say, hey, look, if we could line up all the kids on the planet and we got to pick any kid to be our kids, we would pick you. We want you. We're so glad God gave us you. There isn't anybody else that we would take other than you. It says things like this: man, I'm pleased with you. I'm pleased with you. You've got my stamp of approval on you. Man, I'm so pleased with how you're growing and developing and becoming something. There are people that are grown adults that have longed to hear that from their parents, or especially their father. They're longing to hear, I'm pleased with you. You're acceptable to me. You don't have to do anything else. I am completely satisfied in you. And as dad, we get to come to our kids and say, listen, I am fully pleased with you. Man, that kid can run through a brick wall encouraged like that. God also says, as Father, we get to comfort our children, comfort them. Comforting is when they fall down. When they're kids and they fell down and scraped their knee, you're there to pick them up and you get the Band-Aid on and you help them out. Well, in life, they fall down over and over again. And as dad, we're not there to say, I told you so, or prove a point at this moment, or let me give you a lecture on why that was wrong. That's not comforting. Comforting says this: listen, you fell, you blew it, you missed the mark, but I believe there's more in you, and that's not going to be the story of your life, that there's going to be a great ending, and you're going to learn from this, and this failure isn't final. It's just a stepping stone to ultimately succeeding in your life. Man, that's what comfort looks like. That's what our Heavenly Father does, and that's what He calls us as dads to do. And then He says, as fathers, we're ones that are urging, that we urge them. We call out of them something they don't see in themselves. And you say, I believe in you. There's more in you than you, and you can measure yourself. I see more in you than you see in yourself. Jimmy Valvano was a coach of the Wolfpack, UNC, and he led them to a national championship some years ago. He was a great guy. And he said this about his dad. He said, my father gave me the greatest gift anyone could give another person. He believed in me. He believed in me. Man, if dad believes in you, you can do anything. If dad says you got what it takes, you can make it. I asked permission from my son on this. Early in the summer, beginning of the summer, there was an opportunity of him, he's going into ninth grade, going to Jackson County, and there's an opportunity to start practices in summer basketball league with the JV basketball team. And I said, son, this is your chance. If you're going to get into high school basketball, the coach has opened it up and you can come, so what are you going to do? Are you going to play? And I asked him a bunch of different times, didn't I? What do you think, man? Are you going to play? Are you going to play? And every time his answer was, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm thinking about it. I was like, man, what's going on? What's in it? What's going on? And it just, the Holy Spirit convicted me that my son needed some urging. And I just looked him eyeball to eyeball and I said, hey, Dane, hey, man, you got what it takes. You belong on that court with those other kids. They're no better than you are. You can run with those guys. You've got what it takes. I believe in you, son. You're going to do great. Just go for it, man. You got it. Well, we're 3 weeks in now, and he's doing great. His nickname is Downtown Dane, shooting threes. And I couldn't be prouder of him. That's what a dad does. A good dad calls the best out of his kids. And we need to be all three of those things, encouraging, comforting, and urging. We can't just side and settle in one. A kid needs all of those things in his life. And that's what a great dad does. I miss the mark. I swing and miss. But those are the things God has called us to swing at, dads. As I was thinking about provider and protector and priest, the story that happened this week really hit me. I don't know if you've heard, but I think it was in Middle Georgia. There was two inmates that escaped. Did you hear that story? And every day I was following it on Twitter, on the news feed, seeing if they had captured these guys. Well, one of them was life without parole in prison. And another guy, they were not nice men, okay? They were not the cream of the crop here. And they were being transferred from one prison to another, and that's when they decided to make their break. And they killed, overpowered and killed two of the guards, took their guns, locked the other prisoners in the bus, and took off. And there's been a massive manhunt to find them. And so every day, I was getting more and more concerned when they didn't find them. And I took my phone out and I showed my wife. I said, here's their pictures. If you see these two guys, run. Just get away. All right? I started carrying my gun everywhere I went this week. They didn't know where they were, okay? Well, it turns out they pop up in Tennessee, rural southern Tennessee. And they come into this guy's house. His name was Patrick Hale. Here's this dad. Got a little bitty daughter. He's a provider. They got a home, so he's been provider to this little family. I thought, man, that's a good man. And it said that when he had heard the news, and I don't know what God led him to do this. I don't know the whole story, but he said he felt compelled to load every gun in his house to the brim. Protector. That instinct kicked in, and he had every gun in his house loaded. Sure enough. Those two inmates climb over his barbed wire fence and are in his yard. In his own words, he said, I prayed like I'd never prayed before. Priest. And these men that had killed guards to get away are walking through his yard towards his garage, their intent to steal his car. Now, he doesn't know why they're there. I'm going to read you the rest of the story. He said, I realized I had two ex-cons wanted for murder who had just shot at law enforcement, who had nothing to lose. And for some reason, he pulled out his gun. It says, they surrendered and lay down on the concrete in my driveway. This is a quote from him, Patrick Hale. If that doesn't make you believe in Jesus Christ, I don't know what does. Provider, protector, priest. Guys, may we swing hard to be the dad, to reflect the glory and the character of God, the Heavenly Father, to our kids. So step into those roles is my challenge to you today. Family, praise Him when He does. Acknowledge when He does it well. And follow His lead when He seeks to lead you in these things. Now, can I tell you? I know. There's some here that maybe you say, well, I have a rocky relationship with my father. Maybe they're still here. Maybe they're not. Maybe you haven't talked in a while. And you're wondering what this whole father thing really looks like. Can I tell you something? That this Heavenly Father we've been singing about and watching videos about and just trying to wrap our head out who God is. This Heavenly Father is unlike any other father you've ever met. He's holy and He's good. And He's kind, and He's loving, and He's forgiving. And He always has your best interest in mind. That's who this Heavenly Father is. And when Jesus was trying to describe how great the love and the forgiveness of God is, He tells this powerful story of a dad who watches one of his sons curse him and leave with half of his money. And this son squanders it on crazy living. It's called the prodigal son. And this son is far away, and he finally decides, I have messed up, and I'll go back and just work for my dad as a servant. How is the Heavenly Father going to react? What is God really like? Is He going to chew him out? Is He going to make sure he knows that he's not welcome in that home anymore? Is He going to be hard as nails to his son? No. As soon as he catches sight of his son who's far off, He notices and recognizes his walk. And the Father who represents our Heavenly Father, comes running to him. And he throws his arms around him. And he loves him and he celebrates. Because that is who our Heavenly Father is. He's better than any dad you could ever imagine. And when you and I say yes to a relationship with him, we're finally home. We're finally where we've always wanted to be, in the warmth of a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Let's pray together. Because Father, I believe there's someone you want to introduce yourself to here tonight and today. That they may have heard of you, but they don't know what it means to be loved by you. They don't know what it means to have a relationship with you. But today they want to find out what that's like. And they want to be welcomed into your arms, forgiven for all their sin, and finally be home. God, I believe that's your desire, that all of us, I know, God, that's what you want for each one of us, to be welcomed back home to you. And if that's you today and you need that relationship with God, you've never entered into it with him, all you got to do is turn around and he comes running. If you'll turn from your sin and acknowledge God as the creator, as the savior, that he sent his son Jesus as payment for your sin, that you and I might be forgiven and welcomed into his home. If that's your desire today, I want you to pray with me right now and say, Heavenly Father, I want to know you. I want to experience your love in my life. I want the forgiveness you offer. And so by faith, I put my trust in Jesus Christ alone. He's my only way to you. And today, my faith is placed squarely on him. If that's your prayer to God today, then what he says in response is, welcome home. Welcome home. I will always love you. I will always be pleased with you. You will always be acceptable to me. No one will love you like I love you. Welcome home. And God, I pray that as fathers, we would embrace the roles you've given us to reflect you in our homes as provider and protector and priest. God, we may we do that to your glory. Amen.